He has overcome. Yes, he has overcome. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Jesus, you are here. Carrying our burdens, covering our shame. He has overcome. Yes, he has overcome. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Jesus, you are here.
I will live, I will not die, I will declare. Amen. How many know that Jesus is fighting for you this morning? If you believe that, why don't you lift up a shout of praise all over this house? Call that name of Jesus, that name which is above every name, that only saving name, that only healing name, that only delivering name. How many's glad that Jesus is fighting for you this morning? Woo! I tell you, there's a spirit of expectation in the house this morning. You can be seated this morning if you can. But I'm so glad you took time to worship with us this morning. It's a beautiful day. And it's a beautiful day to worship Jesus every day. Amen. If it's your first time worshiping with us online, we're so glad you took the time to join us. Thank you again for spending your time joining us in service. We have a bit.ly link on there, cgc.com/bit.ly link. Please just fill that out. A few points of information. We'd love to get to connect with you, get to know you a little bit better. And if it's your first time visiting here in person in service, we have a connection card. One of the ushers should have gave you one. If not, just go to the welcome kiosk out there and please grab one of those and fill it out. We just, again, a few points of information. We'd love to get to know you, get to connect with you. Thank you again for joining us on this beautiful Sunday morning with a spirit of expectation and the power that God's going to do this morning. Amen. It's great to have all you. It's good to have my mother and father here and both my grandmas and my aunt here this morning. My parents did make it safely. Thank you for all those that prayed. A little bit of fun there. They're supposed to be in Thursday night, didn't get here till Friday evening, but by God's grace they are here and we're thankful for that. If you're here, how many know that God loves a cheerful giver? So I'm going to give cheerfully this morning, amen, because it's a privilege to give to God's kingdom. He's blessed us beyond measure. If you're worshiping here in person, we have a clear offering giving box out at the welcome kiosk. You can just drop your offering in there. Or if you're watching online, you can give on our website, cgcmadison.org/giving. You can also send it in the good old-fashioned postal service, 5301 Commercial Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin. Or you can text to give, and the number will be on your screen. But if you're texting to give, please specify the amount and the acronym of what you would like that to go to, whether it be MM for Mother's Memorial, Tithes, or Offering. A few announcements. On Sunday, June 6th, our new Sunday service schedule will be beginning, so please bear that in mind. This is something that Pastor talked about on Wednesday evening. If you have any questions, feel free to ask one of the ushers. How many know what next Sunday is? It's Pentecost Sunday. It's Save Our Nation. Amen. And I believe God is going to do some awesome things. Before I talk about that, I want to share one thing. And I got pastor's permission first, so I'm not going rogue up here this morning. But this weekend past, they had the Touch the Future conference down in Bellevue, Florida at Souls Harbor Pentecostal Church down there. There was a wonderful, mighty move of God. I wasn't able to go in person, but I was able to watch online. I encourage you, if you get some time to go on YouTube, you can watch those services. But Brother Kleindienst was there preaching under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and he felt a prophecy go forth, and he gave that in the service, that just as God gathered all the animals to the ark in the time of flood, before the flood came, God brought all those animals to the ark. He prophesied and felt that in the spirit, God was going to draw lost believers, hungry people back to the house of God before his coming and reappearing to this earth. Not only did that go forth, Brother Robinette preached, and God showed him that there's over 400 stadiums in this world that can seat more than 40,000 people in capacity in those stadiums. And one morning when he was in prayer, God showed him a vision of those 400 stadiums being filled with people crying out hungry for God, for the impartation of the Holy Ghost, for the baptism in Jesus' name, wanting to know who this one God is. Now, here's my challenge to you. We are going to have Save Our Nation at the Panther Arena next Sunday at 6 p.m., but we're going to be a live stream location here at Calvary Gospel next week. And here's the challenge that I'm challenging you this morning. If we as apostolics, if we will unlock our mouth, we will see the power of God. So this week, as you spend time in prayer, I encourage you and I challenge you. Don't ask God to do it. Thank him as though he's already done it. Thank you, God, for Calvary Gospel being full next week, next Sunday evening. Thank you, God, for Panther Arena being full next Sunday evening. Thank you. What do the cards say, folks? Miracles, signs, and wonders. We're we're in a world that wants to know who Jesus is. They are crying out, desperately trying to find and be met with who Jesus is. And it's up to us to loose our mouth. What happened in 2020 was not to make the church afraid, but it was to awaken us in boldness and in faith. So be awakened this week. Invite somebody. Don't let there be any of these cards left out at the welcome kiosk. Don't let any of them be left, because there are people in Dane County. There are people all around us that want to know Jesus. Brother Simmons, I feel in the Holy Ghost. When we had made that to Mallard Stadium to go there, we are going to do that, and we are going to see a place full. Because God has prophesied that his church is going to see an unprecedented end time revival. And it's happening right now. Here's what I want you to do. Stand with me. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. But I want you to look at your neighbor. I know it's a little bit difficult. A lot of us have masks on. But I want you to tell your neighbor, I see global harvest. You feel that faith in the house? I want you to say it again. I see global harvest. Come on, make it personal if you live in Dane County. I see harvest in Dane County. I see harvest at Calvary Gospel. I see harvest in the Wisconsin District. I see harvest in the nation of America. God is going to save our nation. God is going to save our world. We are going to see unprecedented signs, miracles, and wonders. Let's pray this morning in faith. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that we can be a part of your glorious kingdom. Thank you for filling us with your Spirit. Thank you that we can be baptized in your name, God. But God, thank you that we're not going to stay quiet. Thank you that you broke every chain. Thank you for in your name pushing back the darkness. And Jesus, we thank you for the souls that are going to be stirred from this conference and this crusade. Thank you for the lives that are going to be delivered. But not only that, God, thank you for the word that is going to go forth with Brother and Sister Carl and Cecily Grant, God, as they give their vision, oh God, for what you're going to do in Montana, God, as they see unprecedented revival. God, thank you that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. Have your way in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Come on, as we go to worship, step out of your seat. Find a place. Worship Jesus. Let God do a miracle in your life this morning.
Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm wandering into the night. I'm wanting a place to hide this weary soul, this bag of bones. And I've tried with all my mind, but I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, a vagabond. And just when I ran out of road, I met a man that I didn't know. And he told me that I was not alone. Come on!
He picked me up and turned me around. Place my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because he healed my heart and changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God.
Got no choice but to believe. My doubts are burning like ashes in the wind. So long to my old friends. Hurting and bitterness, they can't just keep it moving. 'Cause then I welcome him. From now till I walk streets of gold, I'll sing of how you saved my soul. This wayward child has found my way back home.
He picked me up and turned me around. He placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because he healed my heart and changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because he picked me up. because he healed my heart and changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I need master, I need savior, because he picks me up and turned me around. He placed my feet on solid ground. I need master, I need savior, because he healed my heart and changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I need master, I need savior. I thank God.
Oh, Church. I thank God for what he's done in my life. You look back, some of us, we've come a long way. We don't have that far to go yet, church. We're almost there. Almost to the finish line. I feel that. It's all you have to do is just read the news, watch what's going on around us in the world, and compare that to what the Bible says is going to happen. We're right in the very middle of it. And what an exciting day. It really is. We can look at the world and we can look at everything around us with gloom and doom and get all disappointed and frustrated and aggravated. I'm just looking at it as, you know what? Look up. Look up. It's not long, Brother Kerry. It is so great to be back home. So great to be in the house of God on this absolutely beautiful Sunday morning. And so good to see all of you. Just excited to see a full house here this morning. I've got a few things I have to do here. We have our 5th and 6th grade classes, and then our youth class. So our 5th and 6th grade class, you can go ahead and be dismissed at this time to the library. And then our youth class is going to be meeting in the fellowship hall. So we're going to let our classes dismiss at this time. And while they're dismissing, it's just so great, as I said, to be back here. I want to thank all of those from the Calvary that have been up helping at the camp. We were up there, we left last Sunday, and we were up there Sunday through Tuesday, and then we came home for Wednesday night service, and then we left on Thursday, and we got home yesterday, mid-afternoon. So it's been a little bit of a busy week for us, but we're excited about what God is doing, and things are getting done. We're doing a little catch-up. Normally, in past years, we're not up there this many weeks back-to-back, but because we're trying to catch up from last year and all of the messes that COVID brought upon us, and we're trying to kind of catch up from all of that. So with that, if you could just go ahead and stand with me this morning, and I know some of you are already standing, but it is so great. We have out in our fellowship, or out in the sanctuary, vestibule, I'll get it right. Out in the vestibule, we have a vision statement. And I don't know how often you read the vision statement, but our service this morning, literally, is part of what Bishop's vision has been for Calvary Gospel Church for 15, 20 years now. And part of that vision statement is sending young men and young women out in missions all over the world, all over the country, to plant churches. And I'm so thankful that I'm part of an organization that's not self-centered, and everything's focused on centered self, that we have a world, and our world is lost. And it's so great, even though sometimes it's painful. I told Carl this morning, this is kind of a bittersweet, but I'm very excited. Brother Carl and Sister Cecily have felt a call to go to Montana to join up with Brother Nathan and Sister Skasha Thompson, which many of you know. We know them very well here. And they're going to take and work together, and they're going to plant a church. And Brother Carl, Sister Cecily, they're going to share with us this morning their burden. So God bless you, Brother Carl. Come and share with us what God is calling you and Sister Cecily.
Let's clap our hands to the Lord one more time this morning. Let's give Him some glory this morning. God, we worship You this morning, Jesus. We magnify Your name, God. Lord, everything that we say and do, God, we do it for You, for Your glory, Lord Jesus, to honor You and to magnify You, God. We love You, Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. I'll just start by talking a little bit of Pastor Roy. I just want to thank him for the opportunity this morning. We love our church family here at Calvary. Just want to share with you guys a little bit about what we're feeling with this church plant. And also to apologize, it's been brought to our attention over the last few weeks that there some of you didn't have any idea that we were even leaving. And we had made the announcement on social media and stuff like that, but not everybody has social media and stuff. So we just apologize to you guys. We certainly didn't mean to keep everybody. We wanted to keep everybody in the loop, so if you weren't in the loop, we apologize. It wasn't intentional, so we want everybody to know what's going on with us and stuff. So about a little over 5 years ago now, I believe it was when my wife and I felt like it was God was putting on our heart that it was time to turn over the youth ministry to another couple. It would have been James and Rachel. And so we did that. And entered into what would be a very interesting season of ministry and life for us where we didn't necessarily have a particular direction that God was calling us to go. We just knew that it was that season and it was that time. And so we listened to God. We did what we felt that He was calling us to do. And there were times over the next few years that we questioned, did we do the right thing at the right time? And in the meantime, we had just committed to doing whatever there was a need for. You know, pastor asked us to do this, pastor asked to do that. We're just going to do whatever there's a need for. I signed up for to usher and got a chance to reconnect with people that I hadn't got a chance to see and shake hands with and connect with while I was up here sitting with the youth for 6 years. So that was awesome. And helped out with CIP a little bit. Then we started helping out with Daughter Works, where we ended up landing at Stoughton for 3 years. And still just, my wife and I would talk about it, and we would pray about it, and when we would talk about it, we both felt like and knew deep down inside that we weren't going to be here forever. And when you grow up in a church as awesome as this, and this is all you know, and this is all you've been a part of, that's hard to come to terms with. And so, you know, we had talked about it and just put it on the back burner, but always praying, you know, God, if this is what You want for us, just give us direction, lead us, give us direction. And then God called us to go on a missions trip to Africa. And we went there, and it was awesome. We had an awesome time there, loved the people, fell in love with the community. And when we came back, we said, God, is this it? Is this the adventure that we feel that we're going to go on? And just prayed about it, put it in the hands of God, and the doors that would have opened just didn't open. It just wasn't it. And so we said, okay, that's all right. And we also received several offers and opportunities from other pastors to come and assist them with their works, prayed about it. Would have been awesome opportunities, just didn't feel that pull, that call from God to do it. And so it wasn't until I went on my first Man Up adventure. We got, how many guys have been on a Man Up adventure here? If you haven't been up on a Man Up adventure, you need to hook up with Nate Thompson and sign up for one. They are life-changing trips and opportunities. But it wasn't until my first Man Up adventure I went on. God did a whole lot of amazing things for me personally on that trip. And it was at the end, and the alumni that are here will know what I'm talking about, when Nate begins to talk about just the vision and where the ministry is going. And he talked about, when he began to talk about needing help, this is growing and we're going to need help. That first circle that I was in on that first trip, I just began to bawl, just teared up, crying, just overcome with emotion. And on the way home from that trip, I asked God, I said, God, is this just because the trip was so impactful to me? Is it because, are you calling me to help with Man Up? What is it? And I didn't feel the pull in that direction specifically. So when I came home, I was talking with my wife about the trip and how powerful and impactful it was. And I got emotional again, and I said, honey, at the end of this trip, they presented the fact that eventually they're going to need help. And all I could think of is that when they start this Man Up Lodge and all these other trips that they're planning, they're going to have a church. And that's something that I feel like you and I could be a part of. And she's, you know, yeah, that'd be cool, you know. And we left it at that. We left it at that. And I went on a couple trips. I felt God call me to go on a couple trips. And every trip that I went on, I grew more and I grew more and I grew more. And the longer that we stayed at Stoughton and the longer that Pastor Thomas was mentoring me, the more I felt that I was growing and growing and growing. But still not understanding exactly why I was where I was for as long as I was. Has anybody ever been there before? I think we all have at one point in time. And so I got a phone call from a friend, and he said, hey bro, I was going to go on this Man Up trip with you, the Arkansas trip. Some of you guys were on that with me. And he's like, I can't go on it. I had to cancel, so I need you to come on this trip that I signed up with because I don't want to drive by myself. It's like 20 hours. I was like, well, I can't just be, I got a new baby at home and stuff. I can't just be dropping everything I'm doing and going on these trips. And he goes, well, I already paid for your registration because there was only one left. So, and he goes, so just let me know. I was like, well, you already, so I call up Jim and I was talking to Jim and I told him about the trip. And he goes, sounds like it's going to be a great trip. So that's how awesome of a boss I have. When is it? Next week. And gave me the time off, and I set to go on the trip, and I talked to my wife beforehand, and I said, what's your initial thought? She said, my initial thought is that God is affording you the opportunity to go on this trip because you need something that he's going to tell. You need to hear something that he has for you. And so I committed that trip to receiving. I said, God, I'm going on this trip, and the sole purpose for this trip is that I want to come back with direction for the future. Stoughton is coming up on going autonomous. We're praying about, are we going to stay there? Are we going to help out with this other church? What are we supposed to do? And so on the way out to that trip, I just began to feel, the closer we got out west, I just began to feel something inside, this pull. And I talked to my friend as we were on our way out there. I said, this may seem crazy, but I feel a draw to be out here. And he said, what is it? What do you mean? Like spiritually? I said, I've always loved out west in the mountains, but I'm feeling a pull here. And he said, man, you got to pray about it. And so I had always talked with Cecily about the possibility of moving somewhere where there's mountains or out west or whatever. And that seemed great. But as soon as I felt like God was actually pulling us in that direction, calling us in that direction, the pros and cons start to shift quite a bit, you know, from just this fantasy that you have to, wow, God, are you calling me to do this? To leave my job security, my home, my friends, family, our community, everything that we have here, the support system, our comfort zone. And so I prayed when I got there. I said, God, if this is what you want me to do, I don't want any of my flesh to be involved in this decision. I need you to speak to me clearly. And as I'm thinking this in my head, in the very first lesson, Galen Thompson is teaching, you know, when he gets emphatic about everything, and He's an awesome teacher. He literally shifts from everything that the lesson is, and he goes, and I'm feeling in the spirit of, if you feel like God's calling you on an adventure to step out in faith, you just need to go. You just need to go. You just need to go. And I said, God, that's it. That's what I need right there. And then I spent the rest of the trip trying to talk myself out of it. And God spent the rest of the trip saying, no, you're not going to talk yourself out of it. This is what I'm calling you to do. And when the trip was finished, Nate Thompson looked at me, and I was going to give him a hug and go about my way. And he says, hey, man, I felt like we were supposed to have a conversation on this trip. And I said, yeah, I think we were. And he said, well, I'm going to get home and, you know, spend some time with my family, and then I'm going to give you a call. And so I came home and set up a meeting with Pastor Roy to talk to him, and I just wanted to put it forth to him and receive. I wanted confirmation from my pastor, from the man of God in my life, if he was feeling the same thing I was feeling. And so I spoke with him. I spoke with Pastor Thomas. I spoke with Jim. The theme of pretty much every conversation with every spiritual figure I set up a meeting with was that they felt the same thing. They had felt that I was going to be leaving and doing something like this. And so I took that as my confirmation from my spiritual authorities, and I had a conversation with Nate. He calls me up, and he goes, hey, bro, I just feel like I'm supposed to tell you about what we're doing out here. We're starting a church in Ennis, Montana. He began to tell me about his vision for the church and moving into this small community of 900 people, I believe was the last census report, 900 people in this city, this town in the valley, and creating, bringing a spirit-filled church and bringing a sense of community into that town for everyone in the valley. And I was on board with it. Everything that he was saying about the vision for the church, it lined up with everything that I was feeling and my vision for the church. And so I talked to my wife about it. I came back from the trip, and my wife knew something was up. She said, did you get what you needed from God? And I said, yeah. She goes, am I going to like it? I said, well, maybe not right off the bat. And she goes, okay, that's all. I'll talk to you when I'm ready. And 5 days went past. All right, I had received this confirmation from God, and 5 days went past before I was able to talk with my wife about it, have a meeting with Pastor Roy, talk to Nate, everything. I was like about to explode. I'm like, I got to talk to somebody about this. 5 days, you know. So I come into church, and I'm trying to talk myself out of it. I'm sitting here in the front, and Brother Ben was preaching. And he was reading a scripture from Matthew. I had my head down, and then I looked around, and I was looking at all of you guys, and I'm like, how can I leave this community, church, family, everything I know? How can I do this, God? You know, I can't do this. And then I look up, and he's reading the scripture. If you leave your family and your land and all this stuff, and I'm like, oh my goodness, there it is, God. God's like, you're not getting out of this. This is what I want you to do. And so we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God's calling us to do this. I prayed that my wife would also feel it. I didn't want her to just say, yes, okay, I'll follow you, but I wanted her to feel it too. And if you guys know my wife, she's going to do amazing out there, meeting people, creating relationships. We're excited. We're excited about what God's going to do. We're sad to leave because we love and have so many great relationships with all of you. But we're excited for what God has in store, amen? And, you know, This church, this home, this is my family. This is my church. But I also realize that it's become my comfort zone. And I believe that God's calling us outside of our comfort zones for this season so that we can grow, so that we can minister in ways that we never have before. And so we appreciate you guys' support, prayers over the years. We love you guys so much. Pastor Roy.
We have, if I could have our ushers come. These all ended up here. These are pledge cards. And I told him, I said, we want to treat you just like we would treat our missionaries. We have Brother and Sister Smith here, and it's so great if you could just pass those out. We have Brother and Sister Smith here, and Calvary Gospel Church has supported them in Antigua and their missions in the Caribbean for a number of years. And we have our pledge cards here for Brother Carl and Sister Cecily, and the next venture awaits. And it says, I'm committed to pledge the amount of, you don't have to do this, if not everyone's required to do this. But I do believe that God is calling them, and that if you know anything about the little city of Ennis, Montana, it's very much like the Wisconsin Dells. It's a small community over the winter months, but over the summer months it swells into the thousands, because it's kind of the main gateway launch from the northwest into Yellowstone National Park. So it's a very busy city, a lot of things going on there, and I think it's a perfect place to launch a church. So there we have a pledge cards there. The top half of this, you could fold that in half. Brother Simmons put this together for us. Thank you, Brother Jerry. You can fold that in half and tear that off, and what we can do is at the end of this service here, if you want to bring up your pledge card and just put it up here in front of the pulpit, you keep the top half, turn the bottom half into the church office here, and we're going to take and we're going to support them just as we would support a foreign mission or support a home missionary here in the state of Wisconsin. So I'm excited. We're going to have, as you begin to pray about this as a family, we're going to have Brother Carl come back up here, and he's just going to wrap this up, and then we're going to all join together in prayer for Carl and Cecily as they head out on their faith journey to Montana. Brother Carl, come back up and share a few more things with us here this morning. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. I'm just going to preach here for a few moments. It won't take too long this morning. But we gather our thought for today from a familiar passage to everybody in the book of Matthew, chapter 14, beginning in the 22nd verse. We'll begin to read that when it's on the screen. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. While he sent the multitudes away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if thou bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And he began to sink, and he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And they were come into the ship. The wind ceased. And then they were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth thou art the Son of God. I want to speak briefly from the subject this morning, from the thought, wind watchers... or water walkers. Wind watchers or water walkers. I've made this statement many times before, a lot recently, and I'll say it here again this morning, but we've entered as church into very peculiar times, have we not? God is stripping things away. He's forcing us out of our comfort zones. We're being pushed out of the play-it-safe areas, and we are moving into new territory individually and as a body of Christ. This time is a season. It's an age of distraction. Everywhere you look, everywhere you turn, all around us, there's distraction. There's so many different things that can steal our focus. And what we are focusing on will determine our failure or our success in the Spirit. Let me put it this way, that whether we continue on in our faith journey, in our walk with God, or sink into an ocean of failure depends upon what we have our eyes fixed upon in these last days. There are some important things as a church that we need to understand about the passage of Scripture that we just read this morning. The disciples had settled themselves into a comfortable structure. They found themselves in a comfortable structure, a wooden vessel, a seaworthy boat. It was designed to withstand the storm. It was designed to carry them safely afloat. It was designed to go through heavy winds and the waves and the storms, keeping them safe. Not only were they in a safe place, but they were there with all of their friends, all the people that they had spent time with on a day-to-day basis, who could strengthen them, encourage them, lend them a hand, help them keep their heads up. And they looked out and saw the storm. And they may have even commented on the storm to one another. The Bible doesn't suggest that in any particular moment they were even in the least bit troubled about the storm itself or about the inclement conditions. But as they sat in the boat, warm and safe and dry, imagine their shock as they look outside of the boat and they see a figure walking on the water. And they look outside the four walls of their ship and they notice that Jesus is walking on the water. They were so shocked to see him outside the boat, the Bible says that they thought he was a ghost. They didn't even recognize him as the Son of Man. They said, that's got to be a spirit, that's got to be a ghost. They didn't understand that what was approaching them or coming towards them, and they became afraid. As they began to realize it was Jesus, as they realized who it was out on the waves, their fear was diminished. But out of the group, there was one man who truly understood the message that Jesus was trying to convey to his disciples. The message, the object lesson that I believe Jesus was trying to show his disciples at that point. It was that at that point, up until now, their idea of movement, their idea of safety, their mode of transportation was in that boat, was in that vessel, was in that safe place. But Jesus was trying to tell them, I'm not going to be confined to this boat. I'm not going to be confined to this structure, this vessel. Amen. And if you want to be in my will, if you want to get into a deeper place of my presence, you're going to have to get out of that ship and into the unknown. And all of a sudden, Peter, in this awesome display of faith that we talk about and read about all the time, jumps up and he says, Lord, if it's you out there, bid me come. Tell me to come and I'll follow. I'll leave this all behind. I'll step out into the waves, and I'll trust you. And Jesus bids him come. And even though he had never been in that situation before, Pastor Roy, he says, that's the master out there. He's not in here in this boat. He's out there. And I'm going to go to him because he bid me come. It went against everything that he was probably taught, everything in his physical mind. His flesh was probably screaming at him, what are you doing? His friends in the boat were probably like, Peter, you're crazy. That's Jesus. He can do stuff like that. But us? What do you think you're doing? I wonder if they didn't try to grab him and keep him in the boat. Fear for his life. Peter, what are you doing? We got to understand, Peter was in a new place in the Spirit. He was in a place he had never been before. He had left the confines of the boat, the confines of movement by committee and popular opinion. He left his comfort zone. He stepped out of his safety net beyond the walls that protected him. And he was now moving in elements that Jesus had already mastered. He stepped out of certainty into uncertainty. It wasn't this picturesque scene. The waves on the ocean weren't these Bob Ross happy waves. It was tumultuous. It was a storm. It was a tempest. The winds were crashing, probably pushing the boat all the way around. But it was Jesus who had called him, and he had to go. There was an anointing on Peter in that moment that he had never experienced before. It was a miracle that he had never experienced before. Peter was operating in a level of faith he had never operated in before. He was moving into a realm of the Spirit he had never been in before, that he couldn't understand when he stayed in the boat. But when he stepped out of the boat is when the miracle began to take place, and he began to walk on water towards Jesus. Amen. And I'm sure there were critics sitting in the boat, his friends, that thought he was crazy, trying to talk him out of it. Just stay in the safety net, Peter. Just stay inside the boat, Peter, where it's safe. You're crazy. You're out of your mind. But Peter's eyes were deadlocked on the master. He had his eyes fixed on the one thing, the master of the storm, and his trust was in Jesus. He knew that everything was going to be all right as long as he kept his eyes upon Jesus. But something distracted Peter. I don't know, maybe it was the voices of his peers who stayed in the boat that caused him to lose focus and look around. Maybe it was the wind that was howling that broke through his concentration. But something happened to destroy Peter's focus on the master. And for the first time, he stopped looking through eyes of faith, and he began looking through the eyes of his flesh at the situation, and he began to notice the things that were happening around him when he took his eyes off of Jesus. He saw the wind. The Bible says he saw the wind boisterous, and he began to sink. Peter began to sink when he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he began to focus on the things that were happening around him. And in one quick moment, he went from walking in his miracle, water walker, to wind watcher, sinking in the middle of the storm, crying out to Jesus for help. Church, if we're going to walk on water, if we're going to walk in the realm of the Spirit that God's calling the church to walk in this time, in this season, we've got to keep our focus on Him. We can't afford to get distracted by the things that are happening around us. It's crazy in our society right now. Everywhere we turn, everywhere we look, news, media outlets can steal our attention, distract us. That's what they're designed by the enemy to do, is distract us, to get us to take our attention and our focus off of God and put it elsewhere. And when we do that, we begin to sink. When we do that as a body, we begin to sink. Not just individually, but we can sink together. We've got to get our eyes upon Jesus. If we're going to move the gospel forward in these uncertain times, we cannot afford to get caught up in the whirlwind of social drama that's happening around us. We've got to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. We've got to stop watching the wind and get our eyes upon Jesus. When all the craziness first started happening in our society, I saw people losing their minds. We all did. Saw people whose church attendance had become their salvation over the years begin to step away. Aaron Wright spoke a little bit about that. Saw people walk away from God whose relationship with God had only become as deep as their commitment to a 10 a.m. Sunday and a 7 p.m. Wednesday. For years as a body, we've lived safely inside the walls of this church, comforting one another, watching the storm rage, leaning upon one another, shaking our heads at the current condition of the world around us. We felt safe. We felt comfortable. But now, imagine when we look outside of these four walls and we see that Jesus is moving outside of these four walls. He's moving in the communities. He's moving in these situations. He's moving all around us. He's moving in our neighborhoods. Amen. When all this started happening, and I begin to think about what do I need to change in my mindset about how I minister. You know what? Calvin, I had to be really honest with myself and say, you know what? There's a very small handful of people in my neighborhood know who I am and know what I'm about. It's just being transparent. We've got to get into our communities. Our neighbors have to know what we're about. A saying I once read one time on the internet, there was a pastor who was talking to a guy who was giving him an interview, and the guy said, "Are you a Christian?" And he said, "Ask my neighbor." What is the testimony that our neighbor has about us? Amen. Are we reaching our neighbors? Are we reaching those that are close to us? The ones that God has put around us on a day-to-day basis? Amen. As Christians, we need to, in faith, stand up, step over the side of the ship and begin to make our journey to Jesus through the waves, through the wind, through the storm, through the turmoil, amen, through the chaos, and we'll find that we'll be walking on water. Walking on water. This isn't in my notes, but I feel this in the Spirit. When Peter stepped out of the boat, he was walking on. He was mastering over the storm. But when he lost his focus, when he began to focus on the things around him, he began to slip. He began to get pulled down, pulled into. We cannot afford, as a church, as a body of Christ, in the season and the time that we're living in right now, we cannot afford to lose our focus on God, to focus on the things that are around us, and allow ourselves to get pulled in. We cannot afford to get pulled in, amen? Hallelujah. We have to stay true. We have to keep our eyes upon Jesus, amen? If there's anything that we can do in this time to prove that we love people, that we love our community, that we love God, that we want to reach the lost. If there's anything that we can do, it's not to run out and join some other committee or some other type of movement or anything like that. It's that we become more consecrated to this movement. The reason why we have so many problems in our society today is because people started straying away from this movement. Amen. We don't need to go out and buy a bunch of books and read how we can be effective and join some other committee or movement. We need to dive into this book. We need to get on with this movement. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, there's going to be people out there that criticize us. Maybe it's the form of friends or family. We have an awesome support system. But I'm sure, you know, I've been on the job site talking to people about how I'm leaving. I've had conversations with people talking about how we're moving and how we're, what are you going to do? Start a church. Oh, yeah, we're going to live in a fifth wheel. Oh, and they start to think you're crazy, you know. Everyone here has been pretty supportive. But people, you tell people that and they think you're nuts. You're going to take two kids and you're going to live in a camper while you get established. You're going to move out. Yeah, I know it sounds crazy. But God's calling us to do it. God's calling us all to do something great. God's calling us all, I believe, to step out into an area that we may not be comfortable with stepping out into. But he's going to give you the power and the authority to do it. He's going to give you the grace to do it when you do it. Amen. When the church steps out in faith, when we begin to move in the Spirit, there's going to be critics out there. There's always critics. Every time Jesus stepped out to do something, there was a critic. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? The critics, always there, naysaying. There's always going to be critics. You know what Jesus did? He did what he was supposed to do anyways. You know what we're going to do? We're going to do what we're supposed to do anyways. They sit back and say, oh, we'll see how long this lasts. You're crazy to think that people are going to come in and get baptized and get filled with the Holy Ghost, Pastor Roy, during social distancing, COVID-19, all this stuff. You're crazy to expect revival. The economy's terrible right now. You're crazy to expect a financial miracle. You're crazy to think that you can bring drug addicts to Jesus Christ. You're wasting your time trying to set up Bible studies in coffee shops and going to restaurants, witnessing and teaching the word. Get back in the boat where it's safe. Get back in the boat where you're comfortable. Get back in your boat and everything will be all right. You know, the more you pray, the more you commit to God, the more the devil's going to fight you. I found that, my wife and I have found that out over the last couple months. Well, the devil just likes, he just loves to get inside your head, telling you all them lies, fighting you tooth and nail when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Press into that opposition. We can't afford to watch the wind and get discouraged by the storm. Amen. We can listen to the naysayers and the doubters, or we can keep walking towards the one who called us in the first place. And I stand on the words of the Apostle Paul. I'm looking towards Jesus, the author, the finisher of my faith. He called us onto the water. He's not going to leave us there. He's not going to forsake us there. And he's going to finish what he started. Amen? I'm not going to let the wind distract me. How many of you are willing to stand up this morning and say, I'm not going to let the wind distract me. I'm not going to let the current situations in our society distract me from doing what I know God's calling us to do. We know we're going to have opposition when we step out of the boat. The waves have to bow down when he speaks the word. The winds have to cease when he speaks the word. He brought you out, and he's not going to bring you out to leave you. Amen. 2 Kings 20, 1 through 10. I'm getting ready to wrap up here. I'm just going to read through this passage of Scripture. It says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out in the middle of that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thee thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake, there's a couple more scriptures, and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. And they took and laid on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me? And that I should go up unto the house of the Lord a third day. And Isaiah said, this sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, it is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. Isn't it amazing that when Hezekiah was told that he would die, he just accepted that with no questions asked? You're going to die. All right, cool. But then when he was told that God heard his prayer and he was going to be healed, he was like, where's the sign? Where's the miraculous thing that I need to look for that's going to show me and tell me that God's going to do what he said he was going to do? We need to be careful what we believe without question and what we question before belief. So many times we take a bad report and receive it without question, but when someone gives a good report, we say, well, I'm going to just keep my eye on this and see what happens. I'm going to wait around until I get a sign. Friends, I'm here to tell you that we don't always need a crazy sign, that when we have the word of God, amen, spoken into our lives, we can trust him that it's going to be what he said it's going to be. I might let you down. Your friends might let you down. Your family might let you down. But I can tell you with confidence right now that Jesus Christ will never let you down. Amen. He will never let you down. He will never forsake you. All the people that I meet in the trades on a daily basis, it seems to me that the natural inclination these days is for people to look at the negative before the positive. But I'm asking God personally to help me lean towards the positive. With whatever I see in the world today happening, God, help me see the positive thing in this. Help me always see your hand working in every situation. Let me see and identify what you're doing in this. If you go into the woods and you look for a snake, you're probably going to find a snake, right? I just recently, a few months back, I posted this. I was online and I posted this nursery rhyme, and it's pretty goofy, but I'm going to read it. Because it has a point. But it goes, pussycat, where have you been? I've been to London to see the queen. Pussycat, what saw you there? I saw a mouse under a chair. I had put this in a message in Stoughton, and I posted it on my Facebook. But in the midst of the beauty and the royalty and the jewels and the crowns and the queen's presence and the opportunity, the cat noticed a mouse under the chair. Missed out on everything spectacular that was there to offer and saw a mouse under the chair. Why? Because that's what it was looking for. That's what it was looking for. Church, we can't afford to miss out on everything that God has in store for us in this season because we're focused on the wrong stuff, because we're looking for the wrong thing. Amen? In Jesus' name, you can stand this morning. But I just pray right now, in Jesus' name, that God would deliver us from any negativity that we may be harboring in our minds and in our spirits. I pray in the name of Jesus that he would strip away doubt and fear that the enemy has tried to push upon us into our hearts and into our minds. Lord, deliver us, God, from watching the wind. Lord, deliver us from distraction, God. Realign us, God. Give us a fresh focus on you, God, upon what you're trying to do in our lives, Lord, upon your word, Jesus. Give us a fresh vision in Jesus' name. And Lord, help us keep our eyes upon you, Jesus' name. Church, what are you looking for? What is it that you see? I'm looking for miracles. I'm looking for signs and wonders. Amen. I'm looking for the new thing that God has. I'm expecting growth. I'm expecting revival. Amen. I'm believing that as my wife and I are praying for a town that we've never even stepped foot into, that God is going before us. Amen. And he's opening doors and he's making a way and he's touching hearts. Amen. And as Pastor Roy, I'm going to turn this over to Pastor Roy here this morning. I'm just going to leave you with one scripture. I'm jumping forward a little bit here. But Ecclesiastes 11:4 states, whoever watches the wind will not plant, and whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. I want to plant. I want to see a harvest. Amen. I want to do the work that God's called me to do. Amen. I'm going to turn this over to Pastor Roy.
Thank you, Brother Carl. What I'd like to do at this time, I'd like for all of our ministers and elders, if they would come up front here, and I'm just going to ask Carl and Cecily if they would just step down front. And we want to pray that God's hand will be upon them. It's not going to be perfect. I've learned enough in life. I've learned enough following on that journey of faith. That not everything works out perfect, but everything works out for the good. And as a congregation, we're all in this with them. If you feel comfortable to just move in behind, this is an extension. These are our brothers and sisters, and let's pray. Lord, we pray right now. Brother Carl, pray, Lord, for Sister Cecily. We ask you, Lord, as they leave this body here and move to Montana, Lord, to start a church, God, that your hand would be upon them, that you would lead them, that you would guide them, that you would direct them. Lord God, I pray, Lord, that your hand would be upon them. I pray, Lord Jesus, God. God, and maybe perhaps this morning in your own life, in your own faith journey, that God is calling you to step out into the unknown. I believe that as we get closer and closer to the coming of Jesus Christ, the more challenging he's going to be to his church. To step out. So as our worship team prays or begins to sing, we'd like to come down to the altar this morning. We want to open up this altar just as a time to pray, seek God's counsel, talk to God. whatever your struggles may be. Sometimes the answer is getting out of the comfort of the boat, getting into the unknown is where God can take and complete His will and complete His work in our lives. Thank you so very much, Brother Carl and Sister Cecily. God bless you. We love you. Cards. We have Brother Simmons is up here in the front with our offering baskets. You just bring those forward and we'll collect those up here. Thank you so very much. We'll go ahead and sorry to interrupt here, but God bless you.
Declaring victory, my God will make a way. So